beginning with verse 12 together. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin, by the commandment, might become exceeding sinful. All right, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. All right, verse 12, what is true concerning the law of Moses and the commandments of the Old Testament? Pastor Dan.
Holy and just.
Holy and just and even good, right? And so now, verse 13 comes in along, and the question seems to be a contradiction. What is the contradiction in that first question today? Seemingly contradiction. What's the seeming contradiction in that first question, verse
13? Which is good is made death.
So the good is made death to me. So, in other words, in what sense of death was made to Paul? What sense of that word death to you? Spiritual. That maybe yeah. Question that?
I mean, as soon as, before the law came, everything, at least, it was so called fine. When the law came, sin revived and he died.
Mm-hmm.
So the law is the standard.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it became death to him, because the standard says the wages of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
To get the guy's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
And so something good made him to be bad because he couldn't keep it. In other words, the death. And then, God forbid, we mentioned that before, that that's the good translation of meganoita, may it never be, even though we don't have the word God in it, but that's a good translation in 1611. And we understand what God forbid means. It means may it never happen again. Now, in the last part of verse 13, but sin, is that the root or the fruit, do you think? What it speaks of in verse 13, but sin, that it might appear sin. The root, all right, the sin. What is the root of sin? And how many people have that root? Everyone, the flesh. All right, that's the flesh, and everyone has it.
Mm-hmm.
Even the saved people?
Yes,
they certainly, we sure do. We got the flesh, but also the saved people also have what?
Spirit.
Who have the Holy Spirit of God. And so we have two natures, and the unsaved just have the one flesh. That's it. They don't have God, the Holy Spirit. But sin, the root, that it might appear sin. How does sin appear sin because of the law of Moses? What does it mean that appears? It all of a sudden appears.
It's known
because it's spelled out, is it? It's spelled out, this is what to do. If you don't do it, it's just clear as a bell that it might appear to be sin unto me. working death in me. There's that word death again. In what sense does the law work death in Paul? Pardon me?
Demonstrates
the sinfulness. Demonstrates the sinfulness, in that sense. Barbara, you have something? Okay, so that death unto me, sinless, but that which is good. So here's something good that makes him appear bad because he can't keep it. That's what he's saying. And that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. What does that mean?
I don't.
How does the commandment make sense? Yes, Tammy.
We've broken, the law, or we've transgressed, then it becomes even more sinful.
All right.
Because, when we have the knowledge of sin, we continue in that sin.
Yeah, Antoinette.
More guilty.
Oh, I wanted to say something about working death in you. Because we're in our flesh, we're totally depraved, and that, something I wanted to say,
and I just lost it. Well, senior moment.
Yeah. Oh, please.
Well, it'll come
a
little
bit. We have to crucify our flesh. We're called to crucify our flesh.
That's right.
So that would be, I think, working death.
Working death. Crucified with Christ.
Crucify our flesh daily.
All right. Exceeding sinful. So when the commandment comes, and here we're doing this, and before the commandment came, we didn't maybe know. Now, the old expression is, ignorance of the law is no excuse. What does that mean?
Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
ignorance of the law is no excuse. Still guilty. All right. Now, whether that's the speed limits, someone wanted to arrest, I think me one time, going down the street. I don't know where the street was. It was not marked, and the law says if it's not marked, you have a certain speed limit in the city, whether it's 35, whatever it is. And so I was going 30, 35, and so I took it to the court, and the court agreed with me that that's the general law of the land. If it's not marked, then this is the speed, and that's exactly what I was doing. So I was wrongly arrested. But when the law is made clear, and then you go above that law or change it and you break it, then you have violated something, and so you're sinful, and you made a transgression. And so before the law was, you could not transgress. Trans means across, and gradio to step across, to break. If it's not there, you can't step, you can't break it because you haven't got it yet. But even though it may be sinful, you know, it's just intrinsically sinful, until the law is put up there, you can't break it. So that's verse number 12 and number 13, exceeding sinful. Then in verse 14, for we know, who's the we referring to here? Christians at Rome, and by extension, those believers, Christians today even. You know, what does it say concerning the law? What is the assessment? Oh, Pastor Dan first. Go ahead, Pastor Dan.
Greetings from Wisconsin. I'm glad to be at Bible study tonight and love singing all our hymns tonight in Christ the Kosick.
Let's wave to one day, Rick Kosick, over there in Wisconsin, way over in Wisconsin. Thank you very much. All right, so we know, what is the assessment of the definition or the type of thing that the law is in verse 14?
It's spiritual.
It's spiritual. What does that mean, spiritual? What do you think that means? Is that good, bad, or indifferent?
Good.
It's good, all right. In what sense is the law spiritual?
How is it spiritual?
Tammy? That's my question.
Well,
go ahead, Tammy.
It gives us the mind of God.
Gives us the mind of God, all right. Answer that.
Because God is a spirit.
All right.
His law is spiritual.
All right. Who's the source of this law?
Lord Jesus Christ
and God the Father. So it's a divine requirement. So it's spiritual in the sense of fine. It's upstanding. It's not sinful or wicked like the rest of us. You have something, Barbara?
It's holy because it reveals God's self,
all right.
What he expects.
All right. Now the contrast in verse 14 is what? The contrast to the law. Who's this I referred to?
Apostle
Paul. What does he call himself?
Carnal.
Is that politically correct to call yourself?
You can call yourself. I guess you can do what you want. That's just the truth.
It's the truth. That's right. But
you need to up your self-esteem there.
The point of it is, do people like to call themselves this, to be honest, and tell the whole world about it? See, was Paul keeping it to himself, or did he tell all of us? No, he called Elvis. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
I suppose the politically correct thing to do would be lie.
Why would we lie? We have lying.
They don't need anything to confess.
Yeah.
And they don't need whatever. So they would lie.
Yes.
They won't be as far as from a spiritual thing. And that's what the world does. They lie. They think they're okay.
That's right.
Because it was their own good works.
Right.
Their good works gets them to heaven.
Yes.
And then the question. Well, never mind. The question was, is it politically correct to say that I am carnal? That was the question.
I don't like
political correctness.
No.
If a person running for office says, I'm carnal, I'm wicked, I'm corrupt, is that politically correct for him to say that? Would it make a lot of votes for that? It's true. It may be true, but do we always tell...
Better than lying, I guess.
Better than lying. Yeah, fine.
Fine. People will finally be an honest politician.
Well, that's true. Even though he's wicked and corrupt, he's honest. He's a wicked and honest corrupt. Okay, all right. But he was honest. Paul was honest. What does this word carnal mean?
Fleshly.
Fleshly. Fleshly.
Fleshly.
Fleshly. Fleshly. It has to do with the flesh. When God saved Paul's soul, did he take away Paul's flesh?
No.
Still has the old flesh. Mm-hmm. I'm carnal. I have a flesh nature. What's this last phrase mean? Sold under sin. What is sin here? Nature or fruit? Fruit or root?
Root.
Probably the root, sold under that sin nature. Sold, in a sense, what is the picture? He's a bad, having a bad day. Yes.
By one man, sinner into the
by one man. Who was that man's name?
Adam.
Adam. By one man. Sinner of death by sin. Yes, and for now.
I have a question. Why does he use the word sold?
Well,
why?
Sold
in that
under
context,
sin.
What does that really mean, sold?
Well,
sin?
Probably he can't. Sold in the sense of completely taken over by it. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Wages of sin is death.
All right.
So, wages. Sold, you know, that's how it's tied.
He sold out?
Wages
on
what
Christ
you earn.
Wages
what
you earn.
Sold
well,
is.
Yes, Tammy?
I'm sold
so
on that
yeah,
transaction. So that was the transaction?
Yeah, Tammy.
The whole idea with sin and his, the sin that he committed was passed on all of us. So we didn't have any choice. We were sinners because Adam sinned. So,
right.
In essence,
he's called. Barbara, and then Pastor Dan, and then Bill.
It's
even different than Esau selling his birthright. Adam sold his birthright.
That's good. Pastor Dan, and then Bill.
So the transaction took place.
He sold it.
The transaction.
All right.
The transaction. I am carnal, sold under sin. Mm-hmm. In other words, this is how I became carnal because of the transaction in Eden.
All right, Bill.
And then the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins by sacrificing himself on the cross.
When a person is selling things, what do you call these, when you get the prices, you hold up something, who bids on this? An auction.
Yeah.
If an auctioneer has a certain thing he's selling, whether it's a gold charm or a diamond or whatever, and he gets the different bids, and when he finally says, sold, what does that word mean then?
It means
no more bidding. It's finished.
It means that person gets.
That's right.
Whatever it is,
he's selling. The transaction is finished. It's a sold thing. There's no way to change it. So he's sold under sin. In other words, they can't change it. There's no alteration.
Okay.
Nothing to alter.
Okay.
Nothing to change.
Yeah.
Like the auction.
No,
so that's interesting. So sold under sin. And then let's read verses. We read two.
So,
yes, go ahead.
So then, using that analogy, with what Bill said, then people that aren't saved are spiritually economically poor.
Spiritually economically poor.
They're bankrupt.
Yeah, they are.
They
that's right.
Two nickels.
That's exactly
spiritually
right.
Speaking.
Spiritually speaking, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
It's interesting that the Lord uses these like economic terms.
That's interesting. Sold is economic.
I'm sold out for Christ.
That's good. Sold out for Christ. Let's read verses 15, 16, and 17 together. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I do, that I do not.
What I do,
that I do.
Yeah.
All right, finish those three, 15, 16. All right, in verse 15, now, what's this, who's this first I and who's that second I in that verse? I and I.
For I do.
Both I's?
The flesh.
Now, was Paul a split personality?
No.
So, what is the, when he said, that which I do, which I is that?
That's
his flesh. His flesh, what he actually does. What's the second I? That I allow not. What does allow not mean?
Spirit.
Okay. What does allow not?
Not permit.
Sorry, if he doesn't allow it, why does he do it?
He's battling.
There's a battle. Now, did Paul have two natures?
Yes.
Now, some people deny the two natures. For instance, John MacArthur, he denies that we have two natures in his writings and various other things. But I don't know how he, with this chapter 7 of Romans, how he could deny Paul, even the great apostle, which we love in the Lord, and actually qualified for the Lord. But he's got two eyes. Yes. Oh, Hannah, go ahead.
I was just confused. Why do you want to open a can of worms, though?
Well, go ahead, open it. We got plenty.
Why not?
Backtracking, though.
Well, go ahead, backtrack. You can backtrack.
Verse 14.
Yes, verse 14.
Where it says,
I'm dealing with the law spiritually, but I'm carnal, sold under sin.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was referring to Paul presently, as far as when he's writing it, not as far as in the past tense, but in the...
Right, that's present.
Yeah. Where he's having this.
Yes, that's present. That's present. I agree.
Right. So even though Christ has saved us, yeah, we still are sometimes influenced by all this. Well, the sin, sold under sin. I'm not explaining my question very well.
Mm-hmm. So he's carnal. He's works for the has the flesh and. Unless the Holy Spirit of God controls his flesh, he does a lot of things that are wrong.
What's your question?
Well, I guess I'm...
I thought you were making a statement. Do you have a question?
Yeah, that was my thought.
I guess I thought we were saying that he was sold under sin, but now he's saved, so, but... I guess I was hearing something different than what was being said.
No, what I meant was, it was a done deal. He's got the sin nature, and he can't change it.
Oh, okay, I see now. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay, now, the two eyes, the two natures, very clear. The first one, that I do, Elena, what's the second battle he has in verse 15?
What
does wood mean?
I desire to do.
Desire or want. What I want or desire, what happens?
I don't do it.
What's the third battle?
That's hate. I hate.
So here's the two natures. The new nature and the old nature. Yes, that's right.
Does that go under the heading of the flesh is the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Yes, that's in the Garden of Gethsemane, where the men, Peter, James, and John, were up. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? You went and prayed a second time. Sleeping.
It's like they wanted to be with Christ, but their flesh, they were weak. They fell asleep.
That's right. And the Lord Jesus called them out. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh was weak. He called the spirit and the flesh. So here's the three battles. And it shows the two natures that Paul has, and he's honest about it. And then in verse 16, there's another contradiction. What's the first contradiction here? Because if then I what?
Do
that to, but I don't really want to do. What is true if that's the case? It's under the law that it is good. In other words, he doesn't want to do it, but he does it. But he doesn't mean it's bad. What he wants to do is good. The law, whatever the requirement of God is good. All right, then in verse 17, we read 17, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Now, what is his conclusion? Now then, that's a conclusion, isn't it? The
devil made him do it.
Yeah.
It's no more I than it dwelleth in.
Now then what?
It is no more than I do it, but
it dwells in me.
Okay, so the sin nature dwells within me. It's not the eye, the real eye that wants to do what's right. It's a real something. It's just like a person that is lame. It's walking down the street, and he puts the left foot and the right foot, and he can't hold up the right foot, so he just falls down. He doesn't want to fall down, but he's weak through the flesh, the weak as the leg, and so he just falls over.
He'll fall down.
That's he should have a walker or some other thing. But anyway.
Something or
someone who broke, let's use a different illustration.
Yes, go ahead.
Someone just sprained their ankle.
Right.
And they didn't realize that they had hurt it, or how badly they had hurt it, and they thought they could walk on it, but then they found out that they couldn't.
That's good. That's a good illustration.
But after the first fall, you remember, you don't do it over and over again.
So, the two natures in verse 17 are clearly made, are they not? Did we read 17? We read 17, yes. The two natures are very clear here. Also, the fact that sin dwells in him. Where does sin dwell in Paul?
In your
Pardon me?
In your flesh.
In the sin nature. It dwells right in his body. It is right in his body. And the sin nature. And where did he get that sin nature?
It was born with it.
Where is it? He was born with it. And who is it?
Adam.
From Adam. Originally from Adam. And then Adam passed it down historically, didn't he? Tammy?
I was just thinking about this illustration, and
it seems as though the walking illustration and falling down is putting sin in. It's not a correct picture, because sometimes we have limitations, but God is able to give us grace to overcome those limitations. I'm thinking of 2 Corinthians 12, where it says, "My grace is sufficient for me, for thee, for my power, for my strength is perfected in weakness."
Yeah.
And so I don't know. Sin is not really the same as an infirmity of the flesh or weakness.
But something that fails you, and the flesh fails you. So the fail and fail is a good illustration.
Right. But
it's a little different. Physical infirmity.
I guess it depends on how far you take it or what direction.
Yes, the physical infirmity is different than the sinful flesh that we have. But failure and failure, but the others, there's a distinction there. There's a distinction there. So it's the sin nature. So Paul is trying to say it's no longer I that do it. He does it. But what does he mean? It's no longer I that do it. He does it. Why does he say it's not I? In verse 17. Why does Paul say? Questions at vftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Answer some of our questions for us. That would be great. Yes, Tammy, and then Antoinette.
It says,
amen,
in Christ is a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely new. This is not his will, this is not his desire.
All right, after that.
Because he's speaking about admitting to this and confessing it, is it that he's pouring out his heart, and his heart is stating that he doesn't want to do this, but his flesh will do it, but he doesn't really want to do that.
Right.
But because of his flesh, he does that.
And his flesh is an infirmity. It's not exactly like a broken foot, but I mean, it's an infirmity because of the sin that dwelleth in me makes me do it. Now, could that be an excuse for people to sin? If they apply this, could this be a possible excuse for people to sin? They say,
well,
did this, and then as well, if really the flesh, the sin that dwelleth in me, flesh it in?
Yeah, there's a heresy going on here called super grace.
Describe that.
Super grace, in other words, God's grace is greater than any sin, so you can do whatever you want to do and just confess it and everything will be fine.
Sin may abound so that grace may more.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes, that's for that.
But if someone's genuinely saved, then the Holy Spirit's going to convict that person.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, the false teaching of that would be like they would just accept the false teaching and think, oh, well, I'll just say I'm sorry and grace will cover
right.
me. But I think if you're genuinely saved, you will be convicted.
Yes. Let me ask you this. Did Paul relish, or did he really want to do that which was wrong?
No.
No. He says he does it, but he doesn't want to do it. He really didn't want to do it.
But and he did.
He did.
Well, now, then he says when he does do it, he hates it.
That's right.
So he is
now,
telling
but
the truth.
Are there some Christians today that not only do sin, but want to do sin?
Yes.
Yes, there are altogether too many. It's possible. Yes,
possible. Well, what's the difference?
The sin, then? What's the difference? They both do the sin.
Well, one is want to, one is like Paul. I hate
now.
It. I that I don't want it. But the difference is.
The other one says he likes it.
Well, that's the difference. That's the difference.
Yeah, then that's not really a Christian, because if you say, well, I like that sin, that's not really being saved then, because if you're really saved, you know it's wrong and you're going to not.
What if
sin wasn't good and fun and enticing, there would be no point.
But what does the word carnal mean?
Fleshly.
Can Christians be carnal?
Yes.
Fleshly?
Yes.
And not only sin, but enjoy it? Now, it's sinful to enjoy sin, isn't it?
Don't think sin is pleasurable in a season. Yeah.
But does Paul enjoy this sin?
No.
No, he doesn't.
No.
See,
it's
Christian. But Paul does not enjoy it. He hates it.
But he's doing it.
He's in Christ by his flesh.
But I'm still asking, does he enjoy it or doesn't he enjoy it?
Yes, he enjoys it.
He says he hates it, honey.
What are you talking about?
Can I read
yeah, Tammy.
James, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. I have this the last time, I think. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Right.
Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's the sin nature you're allowed to be enticed.
Mm-hmm.
That's not who he is as a new person in Christ.
Right.
His new heart.
So, in verse number 15, he allows that which I would, I want to,
he makes
that I do not.
For the sin
but what I hate, that I do.
That's how I can do it.
But you see, some people don't hate sin. Some Christians, sad to say, now they claim that they're Christians. Here, let me take this first pass down there. Go ahead and see what we got here. Hey, Rob from Chicago. Go ahead, Rob.
Hi, Pastor. Two items. First, basic prayers to my mom. Her infection has diminished. Her lung infection, but she does have COPD. So thanks for all the prayers for her.
Okay.
And on this, can a Christian enjoy sin? Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Yes.
A Christian can enjoy sin.
Yes, that's good. Okay, thanks, Rob. Let's wave.
Let's
wave, Rob, in Chicago. Wave over Chicago. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. No, Pastor Dan has something.
In the last part of verse 15, but that which I hate, that I do.
Right.
He doesn't want to do it. He wants to see the problem is the good that he would do, he doesn't do, and the bad that he doesn't want to do, he does.
Right.
But he knows the fact that he needs to do what's right and not do what's wrong. But because of the flesh, occasionally, sometimes, it's not how it works.
Right. So you would not consider Paul to be a carnal Christian. You call him to a Christian who has a sinful nature, but he's not lusting after that which is wrong. Pastor Dan?
He does call himself a chief of sinners.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
A high chief.
Yes.
But in his efforts of doing what's right, he still does what's wrong sometimes.
Yes, because of the carnality of the nature of it, yes. Yes, Anna, and then Pastor Fon.
I heard that.
Anna, then Fon.
Paul calls himself carnal in verse 14.
Oh, yes.
What I'm saying is,
Anna, under the general term of carnal Christians, I don't think we would call Paul a carnal Christian, right here from this section. He hates sin. But what he does, if it's wrong, is called carnal, but he's not what we would term, why define carnal Christians? Then Bob got some comment. You want to go first?
Who defines him?
No, go ahead. You had a question first or a comment.
He's having a fight. This chapter, he's having a fight with himself. His human nature, which is carnal, and his spiritual Christian part, and he's having a fight. And some of the time, the carnal won, sometimes the Christian won. This is a fight, a chapter of great pulling.
All right. Anna, did you have something else?
Question is
my mom. Oh, no, sorry, fine. 10.
Okay.
Senior moment.
It was important, but I forgot.
Okay. Now let's define what a carnal Christian is.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay, go ahead.
The Apostle Paul, he seems to me like a very close relationship and walk with the Lord.
Yes.
And because of that, he was extra sensitive to any sin
right.
in his life. And so he's looking at it from that vantage point.
Right.
He's calling himself carnal.
Right.
Because he's seeing
because
God's perspective
flesh. That's right.
of him.
That's right. But the normal definition of carnal, see, nevertheless, what I do, to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I mean, he was constantly, he had the flesh, that's for sure, but a carnal Christian today, we call him, you don't know whether he or she is even just like a natural person or if he's a Christian. You don't know what they are. They walk and talk like the world. They may be genuinely saved, but their whole carnality comes out. And you don't know whether they're saved or lost. That's a carnal Christian. Paul was not that way. He was solidly a Christian. But he had the old flesh, like the rest of us have the flesh. Any other comments I have before we move on to another verse? All right, so that which I hate, I do. Sin that draws in.
That's what I hate, I do.
It's not the eye that hates it that does it. It's the flesh that does it. Not his eye that wants not to do it.
He sins.
Yes, he sins because the carnal.
Then who is doing it? Human.
His other nature.
Because he's human.
It's not.
But he's only one person, and he
does. He have two natures or not?
Two natures inside him. He's one person.
So the new nature says, I don't want it. The old nature says, I have to do it because I've got a sinful nature. Yeah. Yes?
Well, I don't know if that's why you have to do it. No, it's Barbara. Do it.
Oh, Barbara, go ahead, Barbara.
Out of the heart comes a whole list of things. I always said we don't need Satan pounding us because we do it pretty well on our own. Mm-hmm. And that's his struggle. That's what's in his heart until the struggle that he has. All these things are in him that can come out of him at any given point in time, given the right set of circumstances. It's almost, the struggle is to keep the old man crucified.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the struggle, is to keep the old man crucified. Mm-hmm. So that the new man, in the newness of life, can follow after Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I see the struggle.
Right. All right, let's go on and read verse 18, 19, and 20 together. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Point to verse 18.
Here we go. It's
not an excuse at all. The old nature is there. So 18, we started with 18, did we?
Yeah.
What does Paul know in verse 18?
In my flesh dwelt no good thing.
Now, is that true not only of Paul, but every genuinely born-again Christian today?
Yes.
No good thing.
No good thing.
You see, we got a lot of things that we call good, a lot of people call good, but we're not saved by any of the other things. But God does not consider anything in our flesh is good. No good thing. Yes, Barbara?
Flesh is that in man which answers to the seduction of sin. It is all that man is without God.
All right. That's what the flesh is. That's what. And dwelleth no good thing. No good thing. So the Adamic nature in every born-again Christian and all the people in this world, no good thing. Now, this to will is present. What does that mean, to will? In verse 18.
The desire
to want to is present. But how to perform, what happened?
He can't figure out how to
perform. Which is good. Why not?
Because the flesh is so strong. He had a real bad day.
Well, it's not simply a day. That's the way he is. He realized that.
That was every day.
Anna, go ahead, Anna.
Well, we talk about the world, the flesh, and the devil.
All right.
And sometimes we think, oh, the world is giving me such a problem, or the devil is such a problem, but quite often the worst of the three is the flesh.
Right.
Because it's always with you.
So
until you die.
If,
then you're free.
All right, if the flesh can't perform it, and this is a born-again, genuine Christian, who can perform it in him?
Lord Jesus.
Lord dwells in God, the Holy Spirit indwells him. And that's why we've got to follow and be controlled by the Spirit of God and have him produce his fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentle, so on. All these things. And if he's in control of our lives, then we're not going to have sin rule. And sin is not going to corrupt us. And so the answer is the Spirit of God. We'll see that later on as we go down the verses. But how to perform that, find that. Not I can. We can't. The old flesh can't fight the flesh. It's got to be God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling us. And remember in John 14, the Lord Jesus said, I will come, my Father and I will make our abode with him. So not only the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, all three indwell the born-again Christian, according to the Scripture. Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is called a helper.
Yes.
Because we can't do it alone.
That's right.
We need that.
All right, so that's verse number 18, was it? Yes, then verse 19. The good that I would. Would means what again?
Desire.
What's true the ones he desires?
Doesn't do it.
He doesn't do it. What about the evil? Does he like to do evil?
No, he does not
like to do evil. I would not. How bad I do. Because of the power of the flesh. Doesn't want to. And did we read 20?
Yeah.
Now there's the if clause here. If what, then what?
I do that, I would not, and it's no more I that dreadful sin.
All right, to draw them. So,
it's a cop-out.
It's not a cop-out. It's not a cop-out. It's a fact.
No, it's not a cop-out.
Pastor Dan, Pastor Nett, then Anna.
We have an absence of purity in our church today.
A what?
An absence of purity, yes, in the church today. Furthermore, the carnal Christian is one who's continually living in sin.
Yes.
Continually living in sin. And as far as, you know, that's the concept behind it. And so as far as he's acknowledging the fact that he, and furthermore, we do not believe in advocate sinless perfection.
Right.
If anyone's listening, they're thinking that we are teaching sinless perfection. In some areas, we don't believe in sinless perfection.
That's right.
And so the idea of if the flesh is present with us, and so we will sin. Right. As far as carnality is a continual thing, continually living in the flesh and continually serving sin and running from what God wants us to do.
Mm-hmm. All right, Antoinette, then Anna, and then Tammy.
I just want to make a comment that these verses, in my mind, are an example of total depravity.
Yes.
Which every man has.
Right.
And woman and child.
That's good. All right, Anna.
I don't know.
Or wasn't that?
I already mumbled away my...
Oh, you mumbled away. Okay. Tammy, go ahead, Tammy.
We didn't hear.
The fact that he's acknowledging it in the scripture seems like he's already confessed.
Yes.
That he's just sharing it with the Romans so that they understand that this battle will rage until you leave the human body.
Mm-hmm. Now, if the flesh causes him to sin, should that sin be confessed? If the flesh causes him to sin, should that sin be confessed by Paul? Yes. 1 John 1:9, let's say it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that word confess mean again?
Agree with God.
Homo logeo. Homo is the same. Say the same thing about that sin that God says.
Which he is doing.
Now, he agrees with God at sin. He agrees at sin. Now, if we don't agree with God at sin, just say something, does the rest of the verse apply?
No,
it doesn't.
It's an if-then clause.
It's got to have, if we agree with God, what I did, what I said, what I thought, Lord, I agree, it's sin. That's confession. And then, and only then, is he faithful and is he just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But it's got to be that agree, homo logeo. Very important. Other comments on verse 19 or 20. Sin that dwelleth in me. We'll stop right here at verse 20. Do you have any other comments further before we close up? Any other comments?
It's nice to know that God understands our problem.
Amen.
That sometimes you go through something, and until you talk to somebody else, you thought you were the only person on earth that it happened to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to know that no less a personage than Paul has the same complex.
That's very good. Antoinette. And then Tan, I'm sure. Oh, you just...
I was
brushing your hair. I saw that hand move. Oh, go ahead, Antoinette. I'm sorry, maybe not. Any other comments or questions before we close? Well, let's close in order to pray. Now, Father, we thank you. We can discuss Paul's Romans chapter 7. We know that the commandment is good, but we have evil flesh that we inherited from Adam. We're glad that Paul admits, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And so, Lord, give us that same agreement with thy words. here in this verse to help us as we battle the two natures, the good and the bad, the Holy Spirit of God, who is perfect and sinless, who indwells us. Help us to yield to Him, that our flesh may not win the battle, any battle, but we may have victory in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead and go with us. Bring us back safely on the Lord's Day. And take care of us. Help us to live for our Savior who died for us. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming.